Okay, today is the fifth day of Hanukkah, so it's the 29th day of Kislev, 29th day of December, page 17. Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. This is an important idea, and I'll essentially tell you what this means is that when you, at what point in time do you fulfill the mitzvah? So, we hold that when you light is the fulfilling of the mitzvah, not Hanacha, when you put it down. Meaning the Gemara is going to discuss, when does the mitzvah kick in? Is it when you place the menorah in the appropriate designated location, or when you light it? So the halacha is when you light it. Meaning, when you light your menorah, it has to already be in the proper location with the requisite amount of oil, candle wax. When you can't, as we'll see, just put in, I just want to light. You light. You add 10 minutes worth of oil. And once you've already lit, then you add in the other amount of oil. That you're not allowed to do. Why? Because when you light it, hadlaka, usa mitzvah, that's the mitzvah. So if there's not enough fuel for the candle, then you get for the mitzvah, because you lit it and you made a bracha over a candle that insufficient fuel. And that's problematic. Okay? So that's going to be the conclusion. Let's see the setup in the Gemara in source number one. So Tashma, Amar Rava, hadlaka bifnim v'otza'ah lo asa klum. A guy lights inside v'otza'ah, and you then bring it outside, you didn't do anything. Now remember, this is talking about the time where they used to light outside. Now this is, we all light inside, especially chutzars. I amart bishlam adlaka osa mitzvah. If you want to say what? This makes sense if you say that the hadlaka, when you light the candle, is the filling the mitzvah. Therefore, hadlaka b'mkomo binyan. We demand that you light it in the right place. Mishum hachi lo osa klum. And therefore, you didn't do anything if you lit it inside, then you brought it outside afterwards. Ella yamar tenachas mitzvah. If you argue that where you place it is when the mitzvah kicks in, meaning not when you, so you light it wherever, you then move it to the right place, and that's the mitzvah. So then you can light wherever you want. It's when you put it down for the last resting point, so to speak, is what really matters. So then the question is that opinion. Am I lost? Why do you do nothing? Because the opinion that holds a nachas a mitzvah appears you did something. Answer. Hatam nami harohu omer letzarko hu daadlika. He says, no, the real, you're right, it's true. They're talking about a case where what? Where you put it in a location for, something that guy explains something else. In the time, there's a very odd halacha, and it doesn't really kick in so much today. But let's say, for example, you wouldn't light chagga candles. You have no house. If whatever the case may be, you still make one bracha on the menorah, and that is din haro. If you see Chanukah candles kindling, and you're not going to light candles, you make a bracha sha'asa nisim lavotenu b'mim b'zman hazeh. It's called din haroa. If you just see it, now we don't do that because since we're all light, I'm going to fulfill by lighting. So if you're going to fulfill by lighting, better to fulfill lighting than by seeing someone else's lights. So interesting, there's like almost two different mitzvot here. The people don't realize there's a mitzvah of lighting, and then there's this resume nisa. So if you see the candles, it's almost like you see, and this is partial. They talk about how Yosef was, not this is partial, that's his partial. Yosef was in a pit, and he was safe from the pit. So the Gemara says if Yosef were to go by and see the pit, he'd say, Shasali neis b'mokom hazeh. And if his kids would go by that pit, they'd say, Shasala Vutai Neis B'makom Hazeh. So you hear that language? That's very similar to Shasala Nisim Lavotenu B'mim B'zman Hazeh. So that's the, so it's called Haro. If you see something that was miraculous, that took place to you, same way if you see the walls of Yericho. Now it's questionable, do you actually see, the walls of Yericho, are they still around today or they're gone, right? But in theory, if you'd see the walls of Yericho that was brought down miraculously, if you'd be able to be, again, exactly technically, how this would play out is complicated. If you'd see the Kriyas Yamsu, if you'd see any place that you knew definitively that this was the place, which again is harder to do, but in theory could happen, then you make a bracha. And actually, contemporary poskim talk about cases that happened in the Middle Ages of miracles that took place, where Jews were saved, they're supposed to have been killed, and last minute something happened, they weren't killed. So those were, local miracles that they talk about. Anyways, so the Gemara then says, okay, this is talking about a case where you're placing it in a location for other people to make a bracha, and that's what they're talking about. Meaning, essentially we see from here that it is, we hold the halacha, hadlaka osa mitzvah. Like I said before, when you light the candle, when you light the menorah, that kicks in. That's when the obligation takes place. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch in source number 2 says, hadlaka osa mitzvah v'lo hanacha. It's when you light it, not when you place it. Let's say, by the way, if you just have them sitting somewhere, not for the mitzvah of Hanukkah, and you light them there, then you're going to be in trouble. Okay, so that's what we said before. Turn the page, please. And by the way, this is true. Let's say you light the menorah, and you did everything right. There was enough oil for 3 hours, and then the right location by the window. All of a sudden, someone opens the door to your house. They run inside. All of a sudden, the candles go out. So mi'ikar hadin, you actually don't need to relight your candles. Why? You lit properly. The place wasn't a place that normally the candles go out. Some guy came in and made a whole fatumul and blew the right. You actually don't need to kavta zakukla. You actually don't need to relight it again. Now, there's a chumrah, since they didn't kindle long enough, you should relight it, and it's better to relight it. But me, Karadin, you filled your mitzvah.
Isn't one of like the mitzvahs, it's like everyone else seeing it.
Right, okay, right. So again, so something happened beyond your control, and it went out. Okay, it happens, things happen beyond your control. You fulfilled your mitzvah of Hanukkah. Again, if you put it in a place, that's one of the reasons why we won't light outside today. Especially in chutzars, you know, light outside in this weather, right? You know? We talked about it a little bit last time, I believe, right? You just can't light outside. So, similarly, if you put it in, if you lit in a place and it should have made it and it didn't, you don't need to relight, but there's a chumrah, why not? What's the difference? Like, we should relight it. Last night, I had one of my candles after, I think an hour went out, so I just replaced it. I have oil, the wick, you know, the wicks in them to tip over, and if you guys use oil at all. So I don't buy the pre-made oil ones. I like getting dirty. I like pouring the oil and putting the wick. It's like part of the excitement of Hanukkah. So sometimes when you use those floating wicks, they tip over sometimes. So I said, okay, we light it, why not? It's only an hour. I like having oil last for many hours. So okay. That was one thing I wanted to point out. What I want to show you is, turn the page, please. I'm not doing seder bracha. That's like pretty standard in a sitter. Let's go to the what's complicated. And what I actually learned when I read through this before, I actually didn't love what he said. I didn't like the sources that he quoted. Quite a lot of Sephardic sources, which is nice, but not so relevant to us. Let's just jump to 14. What happens if you're a guest in a hotel? If you're in a hospital,
a cruise,
if you're in a, anyways, those cases. So, what do you do? So, again, you have to remember that the Ashkenazims we hold, the Mahajim and Mahadrim, everyone lights their own. Everyone lights their own menorah, that's the Ashkenazi Kalacha. Right? So, the question is, how does that play out? So says the, in the course of Piskei Tshuva, so again, we're on page, I don't even know what that is, page, source 14. Achsan yishin madlikin ala b'veitav. If a guy is sleeping over somewhere, and no one's lighting in his house. Let's say you go to your in-laws, right? You go to your parents. You go to your friend's house for Hanukkah. Tzemech latet pruta l'bala b'ayit li'shtatef imo b'shemen. You have to give him some money in order to be included in his... What does that mean? He doesn't have the status of an asanai, of a guest, unless you have two conditions. One, you're staying there, you're not paying, because if you're staying somewhere and you're paying, you're not a guest, you're a hotel, you're a, what are you? You're not a guest. They say welcome, you're a guest at our hotel, but they don't mean that, because they're charging you money. You're a, I don't know, you're a hotel, a customer, you're a, yeah. You're a customer is a good word to use. You're a customer. You're paying, right? So you can't join. You'll not be able to join the owner. That the owner of the house is also lighting Hanukkah candles there. I mean, he lives there. He's also lighting Hanukkah candles. You need those two conditions. Therefore, a guy who's in a hotel, since he's paying money to be there, his room is his room. He's not subsumed under the owner. V'dino kibala bayit malik shamra. Therefore, he would need to light by his rented room, by his rented apartment, by his rented whatever he's doing, by himself. And not only that, but even if his wife was located somewhere else, he can't join with his wife's bracha because he actually has two houses. His wife's living in house X, that's her house, and he's living in house Y. Why? Because he's paying. He's paying to be there.
So that's the hotel says no fires.
Okay. So those are technical things, right? Right. So what happens if you're in a hotel that says no fires? So generally speaking, you have to find out the rule. Many hotels do allow you to light candles, not smoke. But they do allow you to light candles, especially if you stay there and watch them. Most hotels let you do that. Some hotels might let you light in the lobby.
When I was on a cruise, we had to get during Hanukkah, we had to get the chief fire person to watch it the whole time.
Really?
So, yeah, he wouldn't leave.
We didn't leave. Right. Yeah, you're lucky. Most cruises wouldn't let you do that.
It's like the head person was watching for 8 days plus.
Wow. That's amazing.
30 minutes and then...
You put them out.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I know people who go on cruises, usually they're in trouble. Usually they use the electric ones. And if you use those battery-operated ones, you can't make a brach on them. Just light them, and that's what happens. Yeah. But I never knew that you could suit to the chief fire marshal guy. That's awesome. That's good to know.
It's weird.
That's great. Yeah, that's good. Because people ask me, it's good to know that. That's actually, well, some guys actually did it that.
He could have been a nice guy.
He could have been. I don't know. But
did the pay him extra?
I don't know what you guys did.
That's amazing. Wow. Okay, good. That's great. Now, what you could do is, of course, you could bring your own menorah. Why not? You go to your, what's it called? You go to your guest house, go to your friend's house for Hanukkah. You could bring your menorah light there. Nothing wrong with that. You could do that too. So you can be mishtatef for pruta. You could give money to be included. Or you could light your own. That's the... Okay. Turn the page, please. Now, again, we live in a different reality where oil and candles are very cheap. You know, there's no economic expense. Oh my goodness, we're going to impose on you to light more candles. They don't speak about that in the modern era. This is not, you know, whereas in the olden days, they were much more concerned. Once the candles burn for half an hour, you can actually extinguish your candle. If you had that in mind. Most people today, I guarantee you, no mother today is going to be like, oh great, there's extra olive oil. I'll use it for cooking dinner for tomorrow. There's no chance, there's no way in the modern world would any mother, I mean, in North America anyways, maybe someplace in the world, righteous mother, would use the leftover, so that leftover oil is discarded, right? You'd never be like, okay, worried about financial loss, and you have to reuse and save every oil. We don't speak that way, right? A bottle of oil is $7, $10, right? Olive oil is expensive, it's not, in the grand scheme of things, it's just not a lot of money. So, because of that, we'll say, like, don't give him a couple of pennies for it. Just do it yourself, right? That's also part of the rationale. So go to here. Go to Gimel. This is a good one. This is if you're traveling on an airplane or a train or a boat or soldiers that are in the desert or soldiers only have tents. What are they supposed to do? So, Achsan Hashem Adik Alav Beveto. And there's no line for him back home. He doesn't have anyone to light for him back in his house. So let that pruta baba. Okay. Vim yeshlo petach patuach latzmotzka. Ve'ein ledaye klal mehamamor besiman zesh yistrachu davka bayit atzorach hadakan yachanaka. Ki eme inzach bayit klal. You don't necessarily need a house. Vav nimsim bamidbar. Even if you're in the desert, v'yoshvei ohalim chayvim lakan yachanaka. So if you're in a desert, and you're in a tent, you're in the army, you still are obligated to chanukah candles. You're not exempt. You're staying somewhere. You're living somewhere. If, however, your dad is lighting for you, your parents lighting for you back, so you're in the Israeli army, you're out in the Judean desert, your parents live in Yerushalayim, so that's okay. That actually, they should light an extra menorah for you. They could do that. But he has to see chanukah candles. I told you there's a different mitzvah to see chanukah candles. Light in the middle of the Judean desert. Now, Obviously, be careful if you're like undercover. If you're like, you know, they don't want to see who you are. Lighting candles might not be a very good strategic position, right? V'davka im yesh lahem ashishit. Ashishit means they need to be like protected. They need like protection, because if you just put them out in the open in the desert, even in Israel, by the way, this time of year it's very windy in Israel, right? So this blows. You have to have some type of protection, either a box, a roof. You have to make sure they can protect and can blow right away. Because you're lighting in a place that you know it's going to extinguish, right? If you light a candle, gentlemen, outside in Toronto, the truth is probably even in Israel this time of year, right? It is going to blow out. It might take 10 seconds, it might take 1 second, it might take 10 minutes, but it's going to blow out. The truth is, even in the summer, just to take a candle and put it outside, If you're for barbecue, right? If your starter doesn't work, you have to light, strike a match. Often, before you can throw it in, it's already gone out, right? And this is in the spring and the summer, the weather's nice. So if you're in a situation where your candles are no way they're going to last, then you can't make a bracha on such a candle. Okay. So that's generally the interesting question is whether yeshiva bacha, which is not our case, where should they light? Should they light in their dining hall or should they light in the room? Sometimes it's also an issue with fire regulations. I know often the dorm rooms, I believe, you can't light in. I think that's generally the practice. So you light in the chadaracha. But that's, I think, the most. I don't know what you guys do in yeshiva. Chadaracha. Chadaracha. That's what everyone did. So what did I do? I didn't light in the chadaracha. One yeshiva I was at, I was in a caravan. So we lit by the caravan. And then the other time, when I was a bit older, so we had like an apartment in the yeshiva. So since it was more like an apartment, we rotated. And every night, one guy stood by the candles to watch them. That's what we did. Yeah. Okay, I guess it depends on the yeshiva and what they... If they trust the guys. Interesting, if a person gets married during Hanukkah, what to do? That's always an interesting case. If I get married, so if a person gets married, there's always weddings now. So if you're able to, let's say your chuppah is a little bit later. So you could already light, like we do on early Shabbos, light by Plagamecha. Plagamecha is at 3:50.
They won't be staying there that night.
But they're staying there last night. Right, so since they already stayed there last night, it's their house. This is my house. I've lived in this house for 20 years. So this is my house, so I can light candles at 3:50. Or I can have someone else walk into my house and light. That could work. If you're not able to, so I know that, so I know Noah Schwartz was here, so I know that what did Joseph do, just because they were coming in Israel, and no one, you know, they were like hours away from their house. It wasn't like the wedding was one location and somewhere else was more complicated. So they actually lit in the yichud room. Chazan Kala Kalait in the yichud room. And the fathers, they lit in the wedding hall. And since they were eating dinner there, and since they're going to spend many, many hours there, they actually lit there with the bracha. And also by the time they were going to a hotel after the wedding. They were at the hotel 1 o'clock in the morning. It's lit. It might be too late. So therefore they lit in the wedding hall. The father's in the wedding hall, the chazan kala lit in the yichud room, that's like they. So, and then the guests, what do the guests do? The guests are much easier. The guests usually light and then come to the wedding. Whereas everybody else, after a little bit earlier, it's a little bit more complicated. Okay, let's end there for today. And Mirit Hashem, we'll go back to our regular schedule of learning next Tuesday.